Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
Rooted in substance, not flash. Rooted in substance. Today, we talk with our pads.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You're WN Audits, right? Every moment.
The Fan.
I'm ready to run through a wall for Dan Lanning, let me tell you. Hour number three here on 1080 The Fan. No Dusty, Rusty behind the glass, Danny Morang in. Flying solo on this lovely Friday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM terrestrial radio or on watching along on youtube.com/1080amthefan or twitch.tv/1080amthefan. As much as I want you listening and watching us right now, watching the Olympic ceremonies, we've gotten away from what was a different opening ceremonies at the Olympics.
Basically a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
With drag.
Yeah.
In
a river.
In a river. We have now entered the EDM portion of the festivities, where the Eiffel Tower, I kid you not, is being lit up like an EDM show.
Yeah, it looks like laser light show at OMSI, huh?
Yeah, no, we're... Yeah.
Go get that Molly.
Where did they take the residence of the MGM Grand, which is DJ Tiesto, who's the... Aoki, who's the other? There's another DJ, not Skrillex, it's another...
Deadmau5.
No, it's another big one.
That's all I got.
Yeah, no, it's another big name DJ, but they're all in residency at the MGM Grand, and I'm sure they're setting up here in wonderful, beautiful Paris. Somebody was just not getting the cue of what to do with the Olympic torch out there on the boat as it was flailing in their face.
Was that Rafa?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's getting a little thin up top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he, we got, what was that? Rafa, Serena.
Mm-hmm.
We got the tennis players.
That's all I can make out there.
Yeah. The screen's a little, wet.
Wet. Cause it's
raining still, which makes the laser light show really rule.
Pop.
Like, it's going to, like, the lasers are glowing. Yeah. Like, the rain is making everything show up exponentially better. But I'm sure it sucks for everybody who's there getting soaking wet.
Yes.
But I would imagine, as we're now bringing the flame down the river, nine things I've said today that I did not think I would ever say, either just in general or on air. They are bringing the flame down the river, and I would imagine that they are now just minutes away from lighting the Olympic torch, as they have now gone past the Eiffel Tower, and I think they circle back around to come up the road to it. I think they're lighting it here.
Something like that. Did you notice those little teeny tiny cute life jackets they're all wearing there too on that boat?
Yeah, they look like the life jackets that they get off airplanes.
Yeah.
That guy.
Oh, see, they do even have the cord that you got to pull.
Yeah. So
okay, so they will inflate. Okay.
If they do not inflate, there is a tube to your right if you take and blow directly.
Make sure to secure your own mask first before assisting somebody else.
Yes, you know, that's...
And if you can't figure out your seatbelt, Tommy will come back there and hit you over the head with a tack hammer. Mm.
It's truly fantastic stuff. We will not only today... Okay, they have the signers for the hearing impaired that are out there, and I saw this is going to be a total score.
This dude's grooving.
This dude is number one getting it, not getting it near as much as the woman who was signing to get low.
Hey, she was getting down high.
Oh my God!
Is it like those animated Fred Meyer commercials?
Low, 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 low. There was a lot of. There was twerking going on in the signing.
Yeah.
And it was truly a blessing. The person who recorded it was like, I'm more interested in this than I am the show. Because it was actually a live performance of Get Low from the windows to the walls. So what happens next is a hell of a sign. Okay? Okay?
Okay. Oh, boy.
It is a sign for the ages. You know, sometimes in sign language, you're like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. This one, you're like, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
I don't have to know ASL for that one.
Totally, totally get it. If you're watching the YouTube, it's I'm loosely demonstrating what may or may not happen. From the windows to the walls is kind of what the Seattle Mariners kind of threw out there that they were doing last night.
Nice segue.
Like that? You like that? They traded for Randy Arozarena from the Tampa Bay Rays. No longer the Devil Rays.
Randy Arozarena.
Oh, boy. Arozarena.
One more time.
Randy Arozarena.
I don't think you could get that name more wrong. Polivos. That was me trying to say police officers. Polioffs. Play it again. Polioff. Oh my God, this signer is getting it.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Good for them.
Yeah.
Randy Arozarena from the Tampa Bay Rays. On the surface, like, hey, Randy Arozarena. God dang it. Now it's in my head.
I had it bite me in an update.
Randy Arozarena.
Randy Arozarena is... On the surface, like, oh, it's a good player. He's literally playing the worst he's played in his career.
Yeah.
He's batting .211.
And it's just going to get worse at T-Mobile.
Yeah, because he's a pull hitter who just, like, if you look at his hit chart, it's like 12 to the right, 400 to the left.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And this is, I'm going to go full nerd here for all of the baseball folks that are out there. I'm not just going to go, he hits .211 and has a on-base percentage of .318. No, I'm going to go, his batting run value is in the 25th percentile. His base running value is in the 45th percentile. And his fielding run value is in the 9th percentile. Eesh. It's all over the place. Yeah. Like it's just a tough.
The M's are really good at getting that guy just like a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, no, and like look, if he rebounds and he kind of comes back to form and he's like a .265 plus hitter, great. Because the problem with the Mariners is, and I saw this on Twitter the other day. I wish I could give credit. It's like God's cruel joke of like, hey, you know, it'd be an interesting science experiment. What if you gave a 100 lost team the best staff in baseball?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're seeing with their offense.
Yeah.
Like their offense, it portrays itself as a 100 loss team, but their pitching is so good that you're like, they're okay.
I'm actually amazed they still have a positive run differential.
What are they at now? Is it plus 2? Oh, they're 9. Look at that. Almost a whole plus 10. What are the Cardinals at for reference?
The Cardinals are minus 36.
Okay. The Cardinals
and
have.
And 4 games above 500.
Yes, again. The... I hate my team.
And the Cincinnati Reds, 4 games under 500, but plus .39.
Baseball. You have an 80-run differential. You have an 80-run differential. And it's like Good Lord.
And they're separated by 4 games in the standings.
But again, that's kind of my point of like the if you're within basically 40 runs at this point in the season, that's basically neutral. So that the Mariners are 10 or 9 runs up, they could easily be a minus 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just kind of where there's so many games played at this point in time. If you think about how many games have been played, how many opportunities you have for runs,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about the difference in like 0.2 runs per game. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of where you're at. It piles up very quickly. Vancouver Vortex on Rosarena has a 180 WRC plus since June 14th, so he's been better. Yes, he is trending up because, boy, was he at the bottom of the barrel. The question I have with him is, this has kind of been his issue, is that his sweet spot and his squared up rates are incredibly low. But his hard hit percentage and bat speed are very high, while also having an 81st percentile walk rate. The Mariners need base runners however they can get it. So his K rate is in the bottom third. His walk rate is in the top 20% or the top 80th percentile.
Okay.
Like, that's so doesn't strike out, gets walked.
Yeah.
Like,
so he'll at least get the ball in play.
Or get
on base.
On base. Like, yes. That's so, like, that part of it is a little bit better. But you're not talking about a guy who is a plus fielder, so you're not like, oh, you know, you're going to slot him in and figure that out. You're like, well, I guess you can kind of try to hide him in Safeco, but go with God. Is it Safeco still?
T-Mobile. The pink.
That's right.
And I said they figure he's probably going to be their everyday left fielder.
Good luck with that. He's an okay fielder. But the Mariners made a move, which I don't think many people thought they would actually do. They also did it ahead of the deadline. Is this solve their offensive issues? No. I'm interested to see if they do anything else because do they need bats? There's not a ton of bats that I think that they can go get. One of them, last year's All-Star Hayes, got traded from the Baltimore Orioles to the Philadelphia Phillies. They got some bullpen help because their bullpen, despite Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and everyone else on that Orioles team being God tier, mm-hmm. They do have some holes in their bullpen. So they went and got some bullpen help because they could spare it because they have more prospects than God in the outfield. I'm interested to see what the Mariners do. As a Cardinals fan, I don't care about the Mariners, but I've always kind of looked at the Mariners as kind of like a fun, plucky local team that mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, let's see what they kind of do. And, you know, obviously Julio's injuries is going to be a thing to monitor. Mm-hmm. Their pitching staff has been incredible, but their offense has been anemic.
Yeah. Well, what I think JP Crawford's on the, is hurt too, yes, right now. Yeah.
So you've got issues in Seattle that maybe if you get healthy down the stretch, you can make some noise. You can make a move, but also you have this thing where in the AL West, you're never out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not the worst division in baseball. It's close. It's close. The Mariners currently a game back of the Astros in the loss column. It's 53 wins to lead division. Does anybody have a worse lead? No, it's the worst division in baseball.
Yeah.
It's the...
Yeah.
I was like, it's not the it's the worst division in baseball.
They are what, 6 wins behind the next fewest wins for a division leader.
Yeah. And actually, it's kind of crazy. The best team in baseball, the Dodgers, the best team in baseball does not have that many more wins. 62.
Mm-hmm.
9 more wins.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Phillies are at 64 because they swept the Dodgers. So
yeah.
64 wins. So it's 11 wins is the difference between them and the best record in baseball, which is a 10% difference. Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, that's okay, it's the worst division in baseball.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that. The Mariners, 2-8 in their last 10, and obviously they had the worst stretch in baseball history, basically, giving up the 10-game lead, the fastest in Major League Baseball.
June 18th, they had a 10-game lead.
Was it 28 games?
I think I heard 24.
24.
So even worse.
Goodness gracious. They've scored 390 runs. I'm going to take a look here. Is the number one team in baseball still the Dodgers? 516. Holy crap. So that 126 more runs? Yeah.
They are better than only the White Sox and the Marlins in terms of runs scored.
Now, their runs against, fantastic. Is it the best in baseball? I think 381 might be the best in baseball. Oh, Braves 375.
Okay.
Going once, going twice, sold. The Colorado Rockies have given up 602. The run differential of minus 157.
Is that bad?
Good Lord.
Oh, how about the White Sox have given up 526 and only scored 324 for a run differential of
minus 202.
Sweet fancy Moses.
Sweet sassafras.
And that's reading stats on the radio.
I mean, yeah, I know, but it's also kind of eye-opening, like just how bad 35 and a half games back. Whew. Of the division lead.
Yeah, so at least the Mariners have that. At least we're not the White Sox.
Right? So there you go. There's some comparison sake. It's a good move for the Mariners, in my opinion. What they get out of this, if this is just it, it kind of feels Teoscar Hernandez-y. And like, it sounds good, but is it going to be worth it?
Right.
In the long run.
Yeah.
You know, Teoscar ends up leaving, going on, and he had in Seattle. I think they need this to be more like adding a pitching addition last year, where they go out and they get, you know, an ace of their staff. And it's like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Well, I saw something I thought yesterday that they were trying to talk about going out and getting Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Look, I don't care what Vladdy's hitting. I don't care what his stats is, just for vibes.
Yeah.
Give me Vladdy and Julio on the same bleeping baseball team.
Right, there we go.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
From a marketing standpoint alone, love it. Love everything about it. Also, this is super weird. They're carrying the torch around Paris right now, and they're in front of the Louvre, and there's not a soul there but them.
I saw a screen grab, too, of the dead air zone around there in terms of, like, air traffic
controllers. Oh, yeah, no. Like,
yeah, it's just a giant circle.
Yeah. And let me tell you right now, you fly anywhere near that.
Yeah, you're coming down.
You're getting intercepted.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Having been to France and been at the Louvre, it's very weird to see it this empty.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of spooky, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it actually does have that kind of feel, which this group includes a bunch of French athletes, which I see Tony Parker.
Well, right here we got a couple of
Paralympians. Which, pretty dope.
Yeah.
But also a very tall Paralympian, because Tony Parker's dwarfed by him.
Yeah.
But that's got to feel weird for them to be French. Like, I believe Tony's actually from Paris, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Or he went to the Paris Academy. It'd be like being from here and coming down to the waterfront in the summer during the day and not
finding
seeing
nobody.
Not a single person. It's kind of weird and spooky and creepy. All right, that's your weird Olympic update as they go through.
Actually, he was born in Bruges.
He was born in Bruges?
Yeah.
But he went to the Paris Sports Academy, which is where they all go to. That's not the Arc de Triomphe. I can't remember which arc that is. Paris has a lot of arcs.
A lot of arcs.
Arches? Are arcs?
Well, instead of the Arc de Triomphe, is it the Arc de Loser?
Ooh. Well played, sir. Well played. I'm going to revisit our poll. Which new Olympic sport are you most interested in? And then we'll do an NFL wraparound with some news, notes, and all of the things in between coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Olympic torch has now been handed off to someone who appears to be very old. I would assume probably a World War II veteran. That is my assumption right now.
Sure. Sorry, I had to go and tell the TV that I was still watching.
No worries. Just judging by age, I'm not 100% certain, but that's my guess. That'd be a nice little thumb in the nose to Germany, which always.
Yeah, right?
You lost.
Uh-huh.
And it appears we are about to finally light the torch some 5 hours later. Is it a balloon? Is the Olympic torch an Olympic balloon?
I don't know. I must be a little behind here.
There's.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. I mean, it's not a bow and arrow. You know.
Yeah.
We may or may not have.
Is it a Ballon d'Or? Isn't that one of the soccer cups?
It's the soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golden balloon.
But that's a golden ball.
Ball. Well.
It does kind of look like the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, here we go. Now I'm to the old guy.
Yeah, see? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
You see, you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
Giving off World War vibes?
Because the guy that was on there, that must have been paused when it asked me if I was still watching. He's older, but he's not that old.
It's like in his 60s, dude. Yeah. Calm down.
Good Lord.
There's a lot going on in the NFL world, but we did just have, I don't want to call it breaking news, but big news, as it appears the college football salary cap is coming.
Oh.
And by that, I mean the Power Four. There we go. That's kind of cool. Look at the definitely looks like post-apocalyptic. That's been kind of the vibe here. The torch is lit in old Paris. Hopefully it's not a hydrogen balloon that blows up.
Oh, the humanity.
That's going to be a cool-looking picture. That plays really well on the radio, I'm sure. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, NCAA college leaders file landmark agreement in antitrust case. Here's what was settled and what's next. I've had like 30 seconds to read through this, so I'm going to give you some of the highlights of what this is. The agreed-to plan documents on detailing how they are planning to distribute the nearly $2.8 billion in back damages to former players over a 10-year period. Once again, while this is agreed to, the $2.8 billion, this does not guarantee it covers what all of the damages will end up being. The hope is like, hey, we're going to give you close to $3 billion. Remember, it was 2.2, and then it was 2.7, and now it's 2.8. Weird how it keeps going up, huh? Because more and more cases keep getting filed. I think this gets closer to 5 when it's all said and done, but that's just me. But according to documents sent to Yahoo Sports, 83% of the back pay, $2.3 billion, is expected to go to an estimated 19,000 football and men's basketball players.
Boy.
That is an average of about $120,000 per player, or $12,000 a year. That's not nothing.
No.
So I would imagine that it looks a little bit different for Reggie and Vince and Tim Tebow.
Yeah, right.
Their numbers are going to be a little bit bigger since the backs of college football were built on them. Charles Woodson. Go get that number two jersey from Michigan, number five jersey from USC that had nothing to do with those players. There is dozens of pages of legal jargon offset with all important injunctive relief agreement. Boy, that's a sentence that you just want to read on the radio. It is a 31-page document detailing the revenue sharing pool, cap, roster limits for sports, and an enforcement mechanism unlike anything college sports has ever seen. Okay, let's dive into this.
Yes.
A court-appointed, oh boy, they didn't research this name, special master will settle disputes over compliance and interpretation matters about the revenue-sharing model, a role currently occupied by the NCAA office. In other words, NCAA, get bleeped. That is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Making an appearance in France, which... she made a public appearance since she got sick?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Again, I'm going full
squirrel.
I guess
if you're
going
to, you know, come out for something, it might as well be the Olympics.
I hope she's crushing it. Going full Titanic here. A neutral arbiter is charged with hearing and ruling on appeals from athletes or schools found to have violated rules connected to the new model, a role currently held by NCAA Fractions Entity. In other words, part two of NCAA, get bleeped.
Mm-hmm.
Plaintiff attorneys, as well as their class of athletes, otherwise known as new freshman classes, are automatically added to the settlement each year, hold a role in the development and enforcement process of the new salary cap and are partly responsible for monitoring such over the decade of the agreement. Basically, as things change, the new class gets to have a say. That's a pretty important factor here,
mm-hmm.
because that way people aren't making rules for you 10 years ago. That's not me. That's not this environment. No, we're going to push the salary cap up. The document did provide some new information around some very specific and various concepts, most notably enforcement, arbitration, and third-party NIL entities. Okay, so as far as the third-party NIL, we've talked about this a ton this week with Big Ten Media Days. The Ducks and teams like them, Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas, have their NIL, their collectives in lock, stock, smoke, and barrels, right, with their football front offices, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
This is, next part of this is aimed at the idiots at places like Texas A&M and USC and Miami, who can't get out of their own way or get things wrangled well enough to make it make sense, okay? Language in the settlement seeks to eliminate or greatly reduce what many college leaders describe as phony NIL payments from booster organizations. The settlement does this through an assortment of rules and an enforcement mechanism that is protected through the court. Okay, and it highlights very specific entities. Boosters, or any third-party business or entity for that matter, are expressly prohibited. Do not pass go, do not collect $200 from striking NIL deals with athletes unless they can prove the agreements are genuine with rates that align with similarly situated individuals with comparable NIL value who are not players at that school. So you can't be like, well, we paid this other guy at our school the exact same amount of money. No, the market rate is the market rate is the market rate. You can't double somebody's salary on an off-book NIL deal to secure it. This works twofold. Cam Newton's dad can't go, give me $250 and we'll come to you.
Mm.
Okay. All third-party NIL deals of a value of $600 or more must be approved by a newly created clearinghouse that is expected to vet the agreements for authenticity by using fair market value standards. What this means is those players, every player that we know that's out there, we think, oh, they're getting $1 million. They're getting $800,000. We're now going to know.
Gotcha.
We are now going to know exactly what players make. That is what is going to happen. Because why? You're a professional athlete now.
Yeah.
And the reason this exists is, and we'll get to in a minute, is there's going to be a cap. Unlike now, punishments can be appealed to agreed upon neutral arbitrator. The arbitration process, according to the settlement, is designed to be a more accelerated neutral proceeding than the NCAA's current infraction situation. Okay. Okay. Also, during arbitration, if you're ineligible, you will be reinstated during that period. So you will not lose time. So if all of a sudden you're found to be innocent, you will not have lost whatever games it took to kind of go,
right.
You'll serve it afterwards. The cap, this is the big thing. This is the important thing here, right? In fact, there's a lot to get to. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back after the break and we're going to dive into the salary cap, because this is the important part of, I think, where college football is headed. We'll get to that and more coming here. But first, it's Big Kahuna with the Sports Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger? One more
time. That's right. I'm going to hit you with one more time, Big Ten Media Week. Fitting that Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports drops the, not the bombshell, but the eventual culmination of what we expect college football landscape to be, as we had Pete Thamel on from ESPN earlier today, or earlier this week, talking about the changes that were due to be coming by the end of the week.
Yeah, this is less a bombshell and more that scene from Austin Powers with the guy from Mad TV laying on the floor as Austin Powers slowly approaches in the bulldozer.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's fantastic. Celine Dion making people cry, as she does. Did not remember that she sang at the 96 Olympic ceremony.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, 28 years,
yeah.
Turns out. Quite the honor. Two international events like that. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Well, she's kind of a big deal.
This is the big deal for college football. The cap. And this is in bold letters, circumventing the cap. The settlement also seeks to limit ways for schools to use third-party NIL agreements to circumvent the annual revenue sharing cap. If you want to draw the line here to other sports, the Los Angeles Clippers may or may not have been accused of giving Kawhi Leonard a house and a helicopter to fly back and forth from San Diego to Los Angeles.
To keep things outside of the salary cap.
To keep things outside of the salary cap. And I would be one to believe that there's plenty of instances of where that has happened in the NBA. And the same in the NFL. Like, if it's not circumventing the cap, but if you go to a big market and all of a sudden one of the major sponsors of that league all of a sudden earns you a deal worth what you may have lost in tax revenue, just suddenly pops up.
Right.
There's nothing illegal with that. It's not circumventing the cap, but you know. And this is why it's also seeking to, the statement says, the settlement also seeks to eliminate ways, not get rid of. It's like they're hoping to find all the ways, but, you know, they're going to have to get creative. The settlement gives the NCAA and the league's power to adopt rules that prohibit any transaction designed to defeat or circumvent the cap. Basically, they're putting language in there like, look, here's what it is today, but don't get it twisted. We're going to change this as we go, as you guys get sneakier and sneakier, because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. SEC, baby, just means more. Settlement makes clear that school funds used by an outside entity to distribute to athletes will count against the revenue sharing cap. This is a significant piece of information that seeks to eliminate the possibility of schools circumventing the cap by funding institutional monies through multimedia rights holders, foundations, collectives, and other agencies for athlete distribution, as some are currently doing. Otherwise known as everybody with a top 10 recruiting class right now. Look, Dustin's not here to hear me to stop me from saying it. The Ducks are securing the bag, but so is Georgia, so is Michigan, so is Texas.
Yeah, and that's one thing that seems to notice. People like to get bent out of shape over the Ducks, it seems like, more so than other teams.
Because it's a flashier bag.
It's a flashier bag, but they're all doing the same thing.
Look, Georgia, the Ducks, and I don't mean this derogatorily, the Ducks are new money. They're coming up and they're showing up flashier than they have.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, look, Texas is new money in a sense of, while being old money, the Lamborghinis, come on, guys.
Right.
But, I mean, my favorite one is, you know, when you talk about USC and everybody talks about Reggie Bush. Lendale White once a month had a $150,000 bag of cash appear in his apartment on his bed. Unmarked bills.
Nice work if you can get it.
Non-serialized. He was like, yeah, it just, they had a key to my apartment and it just got there.
I don't know.
But guess what? Nothing flashy about that.
Yeah.
There's no diamond plate jersey to it. It was just, the bag man was the bag man.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't like is that Oregon's bag man is front and center and has a Nike swoosh on his chest.
Right.
That's what they don't like.
Yeah. Well, and they forget too that, well, look, Uncle Phil is huge. He's not the only thing behind Oregon athletics.
No, but he is literal billions.
Yeah.
So like that, that's what I think people are like, you can draw the line. Whereas like Oklahoma State, SMU, like what?
I was going to say, were people bitching about T-Boone Pickens, yes, and Oklahoma State, but the same way?
No. And then the reason why is because outside of that state, nobody knows who the hell that is.
Right. Well,
that was going to be my next point. It's like, yeah, you've got these oil magnates in Texas that have more money than God, but nobody cares because they aren't the largest athletic apparel company in the world. That's what it is. But they're saying there's some stuff that they're going to clean up here. There is a line in here that I find to be very interesting. There is, however, one way to circumvent the cap. As part of the revenue sharing model, schools can serve as an athlete's marketing agent for third-party NIL deals. By entering into exclusive or non-exclusive endorsements to purchase a player's NIL. That's a very interesting idea. And this is, I think, one of the things that kind of Pat Chum was talking about with revenue streams yesterday, new AD up at University of Washington. This transaction permits schools to share revenue with athletes, but it also does something else. Schools are permitted to procure outside third-party NIL deals for the athletes that do not count against the revenue share cap, as long as those deals are proven to be authentic. These are such a policy incentivizes schools to find organic endorsement deals for their athletes with brands and businesses. Schools can also use a marketing agency to do this as well. And it gives them an example here. Player A, for example, receives $100,000 in revenue share from his school, but also receives $50,000 from a third-party endorsement deal that has proved that it's authentic. The $50,000 is exempt from revenue sharing cap. So, this is where USC, are you listening? If you are in a major city and you have major endorsement deals, Los Angeles, you can use those companies to circumvent the cap. Good luck keeping up, Eugene. The USC is going to screw this up. I know they are.
Yes, they will.
They will, yeah. But they shouldn't. I'm trying to think of the major cities. I mean, LA is going to crush everyone in potential here.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they actually capitalize on it, we'll see.
Right.
But that is interesting. That is very, very, very interesting.
Because a lot of your biggest teams, too, in college football are not in a large city.
Almost all of them aren't.
I mean, you have your LA schools, but that's, you know, and even there, ask UCLA about playing second fiddle there.
Yes, but I mean, Stanford
and in LA, even though you are USC football, you're still playing third fiddle.
At best. Because you're behind the Lakers and Dodgers always.
Yeah.
But in a city that big, you know.
Well, these days, probably behind the Rams.
Well, right now, yeah, probably. But Stanford in the Bay. I'm trying to think of any other. Austin for Texas.
You're getting closer.
Yeah. Neither of the Florida schools are in that big of cities in the sense of markets.
I mean, what? How far is Athens from Atlanta?
Far enough.
Right?
But I will say that the University of Georgia is they are actually a bigger brand than the Falcons in Georgia, in the state, in the city. Talking to the guys down at the station down there.
Are we getting to like Ohio State in Columbus?
Which is like
Columbus does have an NHL team.
Yeah, they are. I think they're like the fifth or sixth biggest metropolitan area in the country too. It's a big, big city. It's not a big market, but it's a big city. Yeah, that's super interesting. This is where we get into the nuts and bolts of it, the revenue share pool. Like, how does this work, right? The formula to determine the revenue sharing cap is 22% of an average of certain power school revenues. Those figures include ticket sales, television contracts, and sponsorships. The financial figures that schools most recently reported to the NCAA are used to reach that average, and every year will be adjusted. Currently, administrators are working on an estimate of about $21.5 million as a starting point, while the 22% rule remains the same through the 10-year agreement. So basically what this means is you're going to add 1.04% times the year one amount every 3 years. I say every year for 3 years. Then year four, it goes to 22% of average shared revenue based on the most recent report. So every 3 years in year four, they're going to revisit the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a big spike, it's a big spike.
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden, let's use a whole number, make this easy. If it's, let's say it's 10 million is the 22% of the 2.2 million, it's 10 million, okay? Or 100 million, because it's 22 million. Now it goes to 200 million. guess what? Now you're going, that 22% is no longer 22.
Yeah.
It's 44.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just get a massive spike.
Right.
Right? But if it goes down, it also goes down. But the years 2 and 3, in between each one of those, it's going to go up 4%.
And before we go here, because we're up against it, but T Rob pointing out on the YouTube chat, we've managed to forget about Seattle.
Oh God, yeah, no, thank you.
He's like, I've been sitting here screaming at my radio for like 5 minutes.
That's fair.
It's fair enough.
My bad.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's too, you know, Portland here. We have Seattle blinders.
We do. Also on the Vancouver Vortex line, it's interesting. You know, why would Nike deals direct with athletes or Wyden and Kennedy not be exempt from the Oregon cap? It's an interesting question. It would have to be how it was negotiated. And I would imagine the authenticity of the deal would be questioned directly through Oregon because of their ties through Phil Knight. And that's this. Dusty and I talked about this off air the other day of like how this might be a bit of a hurdle for them to overcome
mm-hmm.
in a legal standpoint.
Well, like even on this morning, Colin Cowherd had Jeff Schwartz on and mm-hmm. talking about if like members of the media say could go and be contributing to NIL collectives or whatever we want to call it now, donating
the
members of the media.
Basically the stock option kind of a deal right. of like buying into that part of it. Yeah, and it gets very interesting. And this is why an organization like the Ducks now, and yes, I'm calling them organizations, no longer programs, because that's what they are. They're business organizations.
But there's not another way to say organization.
Organizations?
Like there is program.
I'm going to say organizations. I put an M in
I guess
end.
Down there it would be an organization.
Hey, got him. But yeah, I think it's actually very interesting. And I would love to talk to somebody who understands the legal. Maybe we can get Dellinger on in the coming weeks or we can get Pete Thamel back to dive into, or one of the sports business guys to dive into like Oregon specifically and how this may or may not work. Because I'd be very interested. I know that's like people like, I don't want to hear about that. I do. I think it's genuinely interesting to understand like where this stuff is going, the implications of what it means, not only for Oregon, but college sports. All right, when we come back, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before handing out over to Isaac and Suk on primetime, and we will revisit our poll on what event you are most interested in seeing of the new events here at the Olympics. It's Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. It's been a hell of a week. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. Here on Danny and Dusty, the wrap of Big Ten Media Week. Dusty will also not be here on Monday because we have Ducks Media Day on Monday. I don't know.
Nobody tells me these things.
Yeah, there you go. He's going to be down there. I don't know if we're going to go to him live.
Gotcha.
Or if we're going to get some pre-tape or get some tape stuff, but we'll get some stuff from Dusty on Ducks Media Day on Monday and figure that out. I put up a poll. Which new Olympic event are you most interested in watching? 4 new events: breakdancing, sport climbing, skateboarding, and surfing. Your winner is skateboarding. Sport climbing was in the lead. It's a late run by skateboarding. I love that my generation, the X Games athletes, we will not be denied. Although we did have them skateboarding out on the River Seine.
Yeah.
And the half pipe out there. It's like, that's got to feel like...
Well, I will say, back in my video game days, I did play a lot of Tony Hawk.
A lot of Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Lot of 1080s.
I couldn't skateboard to save my life, but I played a lot of Tony Hawk.
I could skateboard. I could not. I tried to drop in on the half pipe out at the skate park in Beaverton.
I'm assuming that didn't go well.
The big one.
Yeah.
I was very much like Ocho Cinco, feet to the sky, and I just fell basically like 15 feet to the bottom and crunched, and just
yeah,
just. Pure unadulterated death. So, little wrap of today's show. A lot of Olympic squirrel jumping, that's for sure. Squirrel jumping on a sport. It was me jumping on all of the things that were happening during the Olympic ceremonies. It was very unique.
Yes, that
good?
It was.
Don't know if it was good. It was definitely unique.
It was different.
Movie review.
Yes.
Deadpool Wolverine, triple Ds.
Triple Ds.
Triple Ds. Triple Ds through and through. Go see it. It's good old-fashioned family fun. Arozanoza. Thank you for the board there coming to life and popping that dump.
I think I managed to double punch that button, which is what happened there.
I was like, all right, cool.
No.
Thanks for joining us this week. We appreciate you. We love you. It's Isaac and Suk, but it's a Suk and Ortner, Buck Ortner Suk?
Yeah.
Suk Ortner, Buck?
I think you're going to have Buck and Suk in there with Ortner over here on my side behind the glass.
I knew Suk was over here. I just didn't know we were drawing straws for how the rest of it goes. Like I said, Dusty's out today. He's also out on Monday. So we'll see what we're doing for Monday. I don't have a schedule yet because an Odyssey station. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful day. Primetime, the Hags of Suk, the different edition. Coming up next year on 10 of the Fan. Everybody take care. Talk soon. Bye. We know what you want, Daddy.
Believe us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper. And people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That's right. I'm going to hit you with one more time. Big Ten Media Week. Fitting that Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports drops the, not the bombshell, but the eventual culmination of what we expect college football landscape to be. As we had Pete Thamel on from ESPN earlier today, or earlier this week, talking about the changes that were due to be coming by the end of the week.
Yeah, this is less a bombshell and more that scene from Austin Powers with the guy from Mad TV laying on the floor as Austin Powers slowly approaches in the bulldozer.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's fantastic. Celine Dion making people cry as she does. Did not remember that she sang at the 96 Olympic ceremony.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, 28 years,
yeah.
Turns out. Quite the honor. Two international events like that. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Well, she's kind of a big deal.
This is the big deal for college football. The cap. And this is in bold letters. Circumventing the cap. The settlement also seeks to limit ways for schools to use third-party NIL agreements to circumvent the annual revenue sharing cap. If you want to draw the line here to other sports, the Los Angeles Clippers may or may not have been accused of giving Kawhi Leonard a house and a helicopter to fly back and forth from San Diego to Los Angeles.
To keep things outside of the salary cap.
To keep things outside of the salary cap. And I would be one to believe that there's plenty of instances of where that has happened in the NBA. And the same in the NFL. Like, if it's not circumventing the cap, but if you go to a big market and all of a sudden one of the major sponsors of that league all of a sudden earns you a deal worth what you may have lost in tax revenue, just suddenly pops up.
Right.
There's nothing illegal with that. It's not circumventing the cap, but you know. And this is why it's also seeking to, the statement says, the settlement also seeks to eliminate ways, not get rid of. It's like they're hoping to find all the ways, but, you know, they're going to have to get creative. The settlement gives the NCAA and the league's power to adopt rules that prohibit any transaction designed to defeat or circumvent the cap. Basically, they're putting language in there like, look, here's what it is today, but don't get it twisted. We're going to change this as we go, as you guys get sneakier and sneakier, because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. SEC, baby, just means more. The settlement makes clear that school funds used by an outside entity to distribute to athletes will count against the revenue sharing cap. This is a significant piece of information that seeks to limit the possibility of schools circumventing the cap by funding institutional monies through multimedia rights holders, foundations, collectives, and other agencies for athlete distribution, as some are currently doing. Otherwise known as everybody with a top 10 recruiting class right now. Look, Dustin's not here to hear me to stop me from saying it. The Ducks are securing the bag, but so is Georgia, so is Michigan, so is Texas.
Yeah. And that's one thing that seems to notice. People like to get bent out of shape over the Ducks, it seems like, more so than other teams.
Because it's a flashier bag.
It's a flashier bag, but they're all doing the same thing.
Look, Georgia, the Ducks, and I don't mean this derogatorily, the Ducks are new money. They're coming up and they're showing up flashier than they have.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, look, Texas is new money in a sense of, while being old money, the Lamborghinis, come on, guys.
Right.
But, I mean, my favorite one is, you know, when you talk about USC, and everybody talks about Reggie Bush. Lendale White, once a month, had a $150,000 bag of cash appear in his apartment on his bed. Nice. Unmarked bills.
Nice work if you can get it.
Non-serialized. He was like, yeah, it just, they had a key to my apartment and it just got there.
I don't know.
But guess what? Nothing flashy about that.
Yeah.
There's no diamond plate jersey to it. It was just, the bag man was the bag man.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't like is that Oregon's bag man is front and center and has a Nike swoosh on his chest.
Right.
That's what they don't like.
Yeah. Well, and they forget too that, while look, Uncle Phil is huge, he's not the only thing behind Oregon athletics.
No, but he is literal billions.
Yeah.
So, like that, that's what I think people are like. You can draw the line. Whereas, like, Oklahoma State, SMU, like,
what? I was going to say, were people bitching about T-Boone Pickens, yes, and Oklahoma State, but the same way?
No. And then the reason why is because outside of that state, nobody knows who the hell that is.
Right. Well,
that was going to be my next point. Is like, yeah, you've got these oil magnates in Texas that have more money than God, but nobody cares because they aren't the largest athletic apparel company in the world. That's what it is. But they're saying there's some stuff that they're going to clean up here. There is a line in here that I find to be very interesting. There is, however, one way to circumvent the cap. As part of the revenue sharing model, schools can serve as an athlete's marketing agent for third-party NIL deals. By entering into exclusive or non-exclusive endorsements to purchase a player's NIL. Huh. That's a very interesting idea. And this is, I think, one of the things that kind of Pat Chum was talking about with revenue streams yesterday. New AD up at University of Washington. This transaction permits schools to share revenue with athletes, but it also does something else. Schools are permitted to procure outside third-party NIL deals for the athletes that do not count against the revenue share cap, as long as those deals are proven to be authentic. These are such a policy incentivizes schools to find organic endorsement deals for their athletes with brands and businesses. Schools can also use a marketing agency to do this as well. And it gives them an example here. Player A, for example, receives $100,000 in revenue share from his school, but also receives $50,000 from a third-party endorsement deal that has proved that it's authentic. The $50,000 is exempt from revenue sharing cap. So, this is where, USC, are you listening? If you are in a major city and you have major endorsement deals, Los Angeles, you can use those companies to circumvent the cap. Good luck keeping up, Eugene. The USC is going to screw this up. I know they are.
Yes, they will.
They will. Yeah. But they shouldn't. I'm trying to think of the major cities. I mean, L.A. is going to crush everyone in potential here.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they actually capitalize on it, we'll see.
Right.
But that is interesting. That is very, very, very interesting.
Because yeah, a lot of your biggest teams, too, in college football are not in a large city.
Almost all of them are.
I mean, you have your L.A. schools, but that's, you know, and even there, ask UCLA about playing second fiddle there.
Yes, but I mean, Stanford
and in L.A., even though you are USC football, you're still playing third fiddle.
At best. You're behind the Lakers and Dodgers always.
Yeah.
But in a city that big, you know.
Well, these days, probably behind the Rams.
Well, right now, yeah, probably. But Stanford in the Bay. I'm trying to think of any other. Austin for Texas.
You're getting closer.
Yeah. Neither of the Florida schools are in that big of cities in the sense of markets.
I mean, what? How far is Athens from Atlanta?
Far enough.
Right?
But I will say that the University of Georgia is they are actually a bigger brand than the Falcons in Georgia, in the state, in the city. Talking to the guys down at the station down there.
Are we getting to like Ohio State in Columbus?
Which is like
Columbus does have an NHL team.
Yeah, they are. I think they're like the fifth or sixth biggest metropolitan area in the country too. It's a big, big city. It's not a big market, but it's a big city. Yeah, that's super interesting. This is where we get into the nuts and bolts of it, the revenue share pool. Like, how does this work, right? The formula to determine the revenue sharing cap is 22% of an average of certain power school revenues. Those figures include ticket sales, television contracts, and sponsorships. The financial figures that schools most recently reported to the NCAA are used to reach that average, and every year it will be adjusted. Currently, administrators are working on an estimate of about $21.5 million as a starting point, while the 22% rule remains the same through the 10-year agreement. So basically what this means is you're going to add 1.04% times the year one amount every 3 years. I should say every year for 3 years. Then year four, it goes to 22% of average shared revenue based on the most recent report. So every 3 years in year four, they're going to revisit the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a big spike, it's a big spike.
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden, let's use a whole number, make this easy. If it's, let's say it's 10 million is the 22% of the 2.2 million is 10 million, okay? Or 100 million because it's 22 million. Now it goes to 200 million. Guess what? Now you're going, that 22% is no longer 22.
Yeah.
It's 44.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just get a massive spike.
Right.
Right? But if it goes down, it also goes down. But the years two and three, in between each one of those, it's going to go up 4%.
And before we go here, cause we're up against it, but, T Rob pointing out on the YouTube chat, we've managed to forget about Seattle.
Oh God. Yeah. No, thank you.
He's like, I've been sitting here screaming at my radio for like 5 minutes.
That's fair.
It's fair enough.
My bad.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's too, Portland here. We have Seattle blinders.
We do. Also on the Vancouver Vortex line is interesting. Why would Nike deals direct with athletes or Wyden and Kennedy not be exempt from the Oregon cap? It's an interesting question. It would have to be how it was negotiated. And I would imagine the authenticity of the deal would be questioned directly through Oregon because of their ties through Phil Knight. And that's this. Dusty and I talked about this off air the other day of like how this might be a bit of a hurdle for them to overcome in a legal standpoint.
Well, like even on this morning, Colin Cowherd had Jeff Schwartz on and talking about if like members of the media say could go and be contributing to NIL collectives or whatever we want to call it now, donating
the
members of the media.
Basically the stock option kind of a deal, right, of like buying into that part of it. Yeah, and it gets very interesting. And this is why an organization like the Ducks now, and yes, I'm calling them organizations, no longer programs, because that's what they are. They're business organizations.
But there's not another way to say organization.
Organizations?
Like there is program.
I'm going to say organizations. I put an M in
there. I guess down there it would be an Oregonization.
Hey, got him. But yeah, I think it's actually very interesting. And I would love to talk to somebody who understands the legal. Maybe we can get Dellinger on in the coming weeks, or we can get Pete Thamel back to dive into, or one of the sports business guys to dive into, like, Oregon specifically and how this may or may not work. Because I'd be very interested. I know that's like people like, I don't want to hear about that. I do. I think it's genuinely interesting to understand like where this stuff is going, the implications of what it means, not only for Oregon, but college sports. All right, when we come back, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before handing out over to Isaac and Suk on primetime, and we will revisit our poll on what event you are most interested in seeing of the new events here at the Olympics. It's Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. It's been a hell of a week. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. Here on Danny and Dusty, the wrap of Big Ten Media Week. Dusty will also not be here on Monday because we have Ducks Media Day on Monday. I don't know.
Nobody tells me these things.
Yeah, there you go. He's going to be down there. I don't know if we're going to go to him live.
Gotcha.
Or if we're going to get some pre-tape or get some tape stuff, but we'll get some stuff from Dusty on Ducks Media Day on Monday and figure that out. I put up a poll. Which new Olympic event are you most interested in watching? Four new events: breakdancing, sport climbing, skateboarding, and surfing. Brrr. Your winner is skateboarding. Sport climbing was in the lead. It's a late run by skateboarding. I love that my generation, the X Games athletes, we will not be denied. Although we did have them skateboarding out on the River Seine.
Yeah.
And the half pipe out there. It's like, that's got to feel like...
Well, I will say, back in my video game days, I did play a lot of Tony Hawk.
A lot of Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Lot of 1080s.
I couldn't skateboard to save my life, but I played a lot of Tony Hawk.
I could skateboard. I could not. I tried to drop in on the half pipe out at the skate park in Beaverton.
I'm assuming that didn't go well.
The big one.
Yeah.
I was very much like Ocho Cinco, feet to the sky, and I just fell basically like 15 feet to the bottom and crunched, and just
yeah,
just. Pure unadulterated death. So, wrap it today's show. A lot of Olympic squirrel jumping, that's for sure. Squirrel jumping, not a sport. It was me jumping on all of the things that were happening during the Olympic ceremonies. It was very unique.
Yes, that
good.
It was.
Don't know if it was good. It was definitely unique.
It was different.
Movie review.
Yes.
Deadpool Wolverine, triple Ds.
Triple Ds.
Triple Ds. Triple Ds through and through. Go see it. It's good old-fashioned family fun. Arozanoza. Thank you for the board there coming to life and popping that dump.
I think I managed to double punch that button, which is what happened there.
I was like, all right, cool.
No.
Thanks for joining us this week. We appreciate you. We love you. It's Isaac and Suk, but it's a Suk and Ortner Buck. Buck Ortner Suk?
Yeah.
Suk. Ortner, Buck.
I think you're going to have Buck and Suk in there with Ortner over here on my side behind the glass.
I knew Suk was over here. I just didn't know we were drawing straws for how the rest of it goes. Like I said, Dusty's out today. He's also out on Monday. So we'll see what we're doing for Monday. I don't have a schedule yet because an Odyssey station. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful day. Primetime, the Isaac and Suk, the different edition. Coming up next year on 10 of the Fan. Everybody take care. Talk soon. Bye. We know what you want, Daddy. Believe us. It's been a hell of a week. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. Here on Danny and Dusty, the wrap of Big Ten Media Week. Dusty will also not be here on Monday because we have Ducks Media Day on Monday. I don't know.
Nobody tells me these things.
Yeah, there you go. He's going to be down there. I don't know if we're going to go to him live.
Gotcha.
Or if we're going to get some pre-tape or get some tape stuff, but we'll get some stuff from Dusty on Ducks Media Day on Monday and figure that out. I put up a poll. Which new Olympic event are you most interested in watching? Four new events: breakdancing, sport climbing, skateboarding, and surfing. Brrr. Your winner is skateboarding. Sport climbing was in the lead. It's a late run by skateboarding. I love that my generation, the X Games athletes, we will not be denied. Although we did have them skateboarding out on the River Seine.
Yeah.
And the half pipe out there. It's like, that's got to feel like.
Well, I will say, back in my video game days, I did play a lot of Tony Hawk.
A lot of Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
lot of 1080s.
I couldn't skateboard to save my life, but I played a lot of Tony Hawk.
I could skateboard. I could not. I tried to drop in on the half pipe out at the skate park in Beaverton.
I'm assuming that didn't go well.
The big one.
Yeah.
I was very much like Ocho Cinco, feet to the sky. And I just fell basically like 15 feet to the bottom and crunched and just.
Yeah.
Just pure unadulterated death. So wrap it today's show. A lot of Olympic squirrel jumping, that's for sure. Squirrel jumping not a sport. It was me jumping on all of the things that were happening during the Olympic ceremonies. It was very unique.
Yes, that good. It was.
Don't know if it was good. It was definitely unique.
It was different.
Movie review.
Yes.
Deadpool Wolverine, triple D's.
Triple D's.
Triple D's. Triple D's through and through. Go see it. It's good old-fashioned family fun. Arizonoza. Thank you for the board there coming to life and popping that dump.
I think I managed to double punch that button, which is what happened there.
I was like, all right, cool.
No.
Thanks for joining us this week. We appreciate you. We love you. It's Isaac and Sook, but it's a Sook and Ortner Buck. Buck Ortner Sook?
Yeah.
Sook. Ortner, Buck.
I think you're going to have Buck and Sook in there with Ortner over here on my side behind the glass.
I knew Sook was over here. I just didn't know we were drawing straws for how the rest of it goes. Like I said, Dusty's out today. He's also out on Monday. So we'll see what we're doing for Monday. I don't have a schedule yet because an Odyssey station. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful day. Primetime, the Isaac and Sook, the different edition. Coming up next year on 10 of the Fan. Everybody take care. Talk soon. Bye. We know what you want, Daddy.
Believe us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.